T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Clock straight up. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Jack Fritz behind the glass. Matt Martucci on the updates. We'll go back to all the phone calls in just a few minutes. Right now, though, we have to go out to our guest line to talk to Jim Salisbury, NBC Sports Philadelphia, the At the Yard podcast, which you can download and listen to. And, of course, we see him and hear him on TV with the broadcast as well. Jim joins us now to talk about the trade deadline. And, Jim, we've got ourselves a move. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right. How you doing, Joe?
We're doing good. We're hoping for more, but I'd say Jason Vargas is a start. What are your thoughts here? The Phillies basically get him for nothing from the Mets, and a decent veteran pitcher. He's been around the block, and apparently I had forgotten about this until I saw it tonight, that Matt Klentak knew him from their time in Los Angeles together.
That's right. You know, my first at first blush, I think it's kind of a sad state, sad commentary on the state of the Phillies starting rotation right now, that we look at Jason Vargas as an upgrade. But that's where they are. He can be an upgrade for them, given what they've been getting from really the 2, 3, 4, and 5 spots in their rotation. He's pitched pretty well lately. He's a veteran and knows his way around a ball game. He's sort of a Jamie Moyer type with better stuff. And, you know, we've seen it before. Guys change teams, get in the pennant race, or a playoff race, I should say, and give you 5 or 6 good starts, and kind of that's what the Phillies need right now. Not sure who gets bumped. They have some options and some possibilities, but he'll start on Friday or Saturday. So, like I said, he's a major league pitcher. He's at the end of the road, and that's kind of what we figured they would be getting because they just, you know, they don't have a very deep farm system. They don't have a ton of great prospects. That said, they have a couple guys that any team would like to have. And they're going to be very protective of those guys that you might, you know, need to move to get a headline-grabbing pitcher.
Jim, where do you think they go from here? Because if they're going to go down this route and get Jason Vargas, it feels like a little bit like last year, where maybe they're not going to do anything substantial. They you know, they chased Machado last year, they didn't get him, but then they made 3 or 4 moves to try to upgrade. It ultimately didn't work last year. But do you think they're going to go down a similar path, and maybe Vargas is the Esdrubal Cabrera, and there's a Wilson Ramos and a Justin Bour coming? Do you think there's more moves to come now?
Well, I hope he's more impactful than those guys.
Me too,
Last year's trade deadline, you know, they had some quantity, but none of it turned out to be quality. In fact, it really, they nosedived after those deals. Their chemistry was really badly affected. Where do they go from here? You know, they'd still like to get a reliever for the back end, and, you know, preferably somebody controllable, because if you kind of look at what they're doing, Vargas aside, they've already started constructing the 2020 team. You know, they would like to get a reliever that could control through next season. Somebody who could help now and help later. I'd keep an eye on Alex Colome from the White Sox. Keep an eye on Ken Giles. Guys like that. So I don't think they're done, but I don't think we're going to see like an earth shaker. You know, I think they'd like to continue to, you know, tweak a little bit and maybe get hot with their existing guys, their existing core, and see if they can make a run at the wild card that way. But, you know, I think they got to keep trying because I think the year's been a disappointment in my mind. We expected so much more. There's been so much underperformance, underachievement. That said, if they could play meaningful games in September and somehow get into the wild card, I think it would be a really great development tool for the guys that are going to be here next year, almost like 2007 was, you know, a decade ago, in terms of just, you know, playing in big games, getting there and seeing how it works, and maybe it'll help you down the road.
Jim Salisbury, NBC Sports Philadelphia, joining us here. Jim, I agree with that, that matters, and that 08 team talked about that 07, you know, that gave them that experience. And there's a lot of young guys in this team that have never played in a really big game. Aaron Nola and Rhys Hoskins and Scott Kingery. Right. I think it would matter for those guys. Jim, you mentioned some pitchers. There are some bullpen arms. I think that could certainly help. Do you think there's a chance here they try to find another bat? Because, you know, Michael Franco, we know he goes hot, he goes cold. The more he plays, the more you realize he's mostly below average offensively. And if they got another, let's say, an outfield bat, maybe Scott Kingery can move to third base. Or do you think a potential acquisition could be a bat to help this group?
I think they're looking back-end relief, and they'd love to get a bat. That's been high on their list for a while. Somebody could play the outfield. I mean, I wrote about that today. They would love to get a bat that they could put in the outfield and move Kingery back to the infield and play him at third base. And there has been interest in Michael Franco over the last couple of years. There are teams out there that like his overall talent and think they might be able to do something with him. So I would definitely not rule that out. Kingery coming back to the infield playing third base, and but that depends on what they can bring in terms of another bat. They had some interest in Todd Frazier for a while. I'm not sure that's still hot, but you know that would have been a move that would have moved Franco to the side. But that's very much a possibility here in the last, 44 hours before the deadline. They have a lot of irons in the fire. You don't know if something's going to happen, but maybe a couple things could happen. That's, you know, especially this year with the one and done deadline. I think that could spur some activity for the Phillies.
Jim, you wrote a bunch of teams that the Phillies that you said the ballpark spies had noticed some Phillies people scouts kind of scouting these teams and watched them. One of them was the Reds. I'm going to throw a name at you, Jim. Tell me on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being he's coming here, 1 being it's the craziest idea you ever heard. Yasiel Puig is a free agent of B. He's been hitting the cover off the ball the last couple of months. He's played, I think, 50 games in center field, but we watched this team last year move pieces, you know, square pegs, not in round holes, just try to make it work. Do you think there's any chance a rental Puig plays some center field down the stretch for the Phillies?
That's a good one. I guess it depends on what you'd have to give up, how the Reds value him, what they'd be looking for in return. My knee-jerk answer to that would be probably not. I think last year at the deadline, they watched their chemistry really plummet with some of the acquisitions. They're very committed to bringing in the right guys character-wise and chemistry-wise. And I'm not sure that would be the perfect fit for their clubhouse. That said, who knows? It depends on, I guess, what you had to give up.
Jim, you mentioned character and clubhouse, and I saw some quotes from Matt Klentak tonight describing what he believes and the character he believes in Jason Vargas, but there was a pretty public spat last month between him and a Mets reporter, ironically right before the Mets came here and got swept. What did Klentak say about Jason Vargas? Because I think the average fan is like, I heard that guy before. What's his name? Oh, yeah, and they searched the story and they found it tonight. What did Klentak say about Vargas and the character stuff?
He said his character was exemplary. It's funny. About 6 o'clock tonight, I heard from a baseball guy who I respect saying he's a really good teammate. And then about a half hour ago, I heard from another guy who was an executive with another team saying he's got some questionable makeup. So who knows, right? Just because you wanted to beat the heck out of a reporter doesn't make you a bad guy. That stuff happens now and then. But I've heard he's a pretty good teammate. I tend to believe that side of it. It sounds like the thing with the reporter in New York was an isolated incident. In that case, he was kind of having his manager's back, and that's not the worst thing in the world. I mean, these things happen now and then between reporters and players, and they do happen in New York. There's a lot of guys up there. It's an aggressive market. But a lot of times they blow over, and believe it or not, respect can grow through the two parties. So I kind of look at it as an isolated incident. I think he's only going to be here for 2 months. They just need him to pitch good. And if he pitches good, he's going to have a smile on his face, and his chemistry is going to be fine.
So safe to say, Jim, you're not worried about throwing down with Jason Vargas in the clubhouse?
No, I'm a lover, not a fighter.
Okay, that's what I figured.
No, I just don't think it's a big deal. I mean, I've seen these things. I've been involved in them. They get blown up at the time, and then the next day they're over and everybody moves on and has a good laugh about it, you know? I don't think it's a big deal. They're bringing in this guy to pitch, and if he stinks, nobody's going to be happy. So then the chemistry will probably suffer from that. But if he pitches good, it's amazing. When you play good and you win in ball games, everything's fine. When you're losing, that's when all that crap happens.
That's for sure. Jim Salisbury, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Jim, you mentioned at the top a couple names, and I believe they're Alec Baum and Spencer Howard, the Phillies are very protective of. And I want to ask you about Howard in a second, but the one name that I keep thinking about lately, because he's playing here now and he's playing pretty well, is Adam Haseley. What do you think, what's your gut on what the Phillies think of him? Because the more I watch him and the more I watch his swing, I like it. Do you think they look at him as a big part of their future? Do you think he's one of those guys that if he was asked for in a trade for a pitcher, they would say no? What's your thoughts on Haseley now that he's been up a little while?
It depends on the pitcher, I believe. I don't believe he is an untouchable. I believe, you know, in the right deal that they would talk about him. Most of the scouts I talk to around the game like him. I think he's maybe, you know, that fourth outfielder, maybe, you know, maybe poke his head into a third outfielder role. But so far, I mean, he's shown pretty good power. He's hit, I think, all three of his home runs are 400-foot-plus. I mean, he really leaned on that one yesterday. He's got a very interesting swing that you don't see a lot these days, where he's kind of got that downward plane, which, you know, hey, it works for him. I hope somebody doesn't get in his head and try to change it, because then a whole lot of problems can happen when you start changing people's swings in their mid-20s when they're pretty much, you know, at least moving toward being established ball players. But so far, you know, I think you have to like what you see. I mean, he's only, what, two years removed from the draft. But I don't see him as a guy who profiles to, you know, be a 10-time All-Star. And I don't think for the right deal, a controllable, top-type pitcher, that he would be a guy who would hold it up. I think, you know, Baum and Spencer Howard, you're probably correct in saying those guys are, if they have an untouchable in the organization, it would probably be those two guys.
Last one for you, Jim. You wrote on Friday Thursday into Friday, the Phillies were going to move up Spencer Howard to Double-A. He had a very impressive first start. Do you think there's a chance we see Spencer Howard down the stretch? I know a lot of times in the recent past, guys that have been high-profile starters sometimes come up in pennant races or playoff chases, like you called it earlier, and they hop in the bullpen. Do you think we could see Spencer Howard at some point this year?
I'll answer that as possible. You know, I think there's a chance, and only because of this. You know, they're very mindful of the workload of their young pitchers, the minor league pitchers, even their young major league pitchers over the last few years have been on innings limits. Spencer Howard, you know, has only pitched 45 innings this season, so he is not going to run out of innings. He had that, you know, shoulder fatigue. They shut him down for 2 months. Innings are not going to be an issue. I'm not saying he's going to come here in September, but let's look at it this way. If he goes to Double-A and has four really good starts and he's like a man among boys, they shoot him up to Triple-A for a start and he looks like he can handle himself. I've met the kid. I've seen the kid. I've talked to the kid. He's got a man's body. He's got a man's pitch repertoire. He's got a man's personality. He looks you right in the eye. He's a strong-minded kid. If he doesn't get kind of lost in the tide here over these next 6 or 7 weeks, or actually it's only a month in the minor league season, over the next month or so in the minor league season, if he kind of holds his own, even maybe, you know, probably approaches being dominant, if they needed somebody either in the bullpen or in the rotation, he'd certainly have the innings left. And I think maturity-wise, character-wise, makeup-wise, I actually think he could probably handle it. It's just probably the decision comes down to, is there a need? How has he performed over these final 5 weeks? And if that all adds up, workload will not be a problem. So I think it's that's probably a long-winded answer, saying a long-winded way of saying I think there's a chance.
Well, now I'm imagining Nola Vargas and Howard down the stretch. I didn't think that's where we'd be when the season started, but it's going to be fun to watch.
I'm not saying that he's going to come up in here and dominate. I just think it's something that, all, you know, his total package, all his ingredients, and if he goes down there and if he has some more success in Double-A this month, I think it's certainly something that they would consider. I don't think he's going to come up here. I don't think he's going to ruin him by throwing him in a game in September, a game or two. I just don't think he's going to ruin him. I think he seems strong-minded enough to me.
Well, we'll keep an eye on it, Jim. I really appreciate you hopping on. We'll be reading the work and listening to the At the Yard podcast all season, but especially the next couple of days leading into the trade deadline on Wednesday. Thank you, Jim.
My pleasure. See you, Joe.
There he goes. Jim Salisbury, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Alex Colomay's name came up there. Ken Giles' name came up there.
No.
Listen, Ken Giles is good again.
No.
Listen,
can't handle it.
When the Phillies are going after Jason Vargas, there's no more no's. We're scrapping the bottom of the barrel here. If Jason Vargas is considered an upgrade, Ken Giles would be too, as would Alex Colomay. Here's why I like both those guys. Alex Colomay and Ken Giles. Colomay pitched for the White Sox, Giles for the Blue Jays. Both are signed through next year. Like, this is the kind of moves I'm talking about. Not just rentals, not just guys that are going to be here this year, but guys that can help next year. And although I didn't get Jim to give me a complete sign-off, he didn't totally rule out the Yasiel Puig idea.
I would love it.
Go get him.
It'd be so fun. And he could be a five. Listen, if you have a lineup of Kingery, Segura, Harper, Hoskins, Puig, Real Muto.
Bruce.
Well, yeah, Bruce, because Puig will be in center. Mm-hmm. Hernandez, pitcher.
Mm-hmm. And then off the bench, you have a guy like Adam Haseley, who would still be here with the team. You'd have potentially Michael Franco, if he's still around him, he could pinch hit. And Roman Quinn as another pinch runner like that. You'd actually have a bench then.
It'd be a good team.
Yeah, it'd be fun. Go get Klentak. Go get him. Dan in Washington. What's up, Dan?
Joe G, how you doing tonight?
Good, Dan. What's up tonight, bud?
Before I get to my overhype, does Matt Klentak seem like a Buddy Ryan type, where he's better at picking one side of the ball than the other? Because with the Jay Bruce move, that seems to turn out really well, but the pitchers he always picks seem to just never pan out.
Yes, I think it's a fair point. Offensively, he seems to have a knack for realizing which guys can give some boost here. Even, I'll just go to the Brad Miller thing a couple weeks ago. Like, there's something about when he finds guys on the scrap heap offensively, they seem to help a little bit. And then pitching-wise, they don't. Dan, it's amazing over the last year how many pitchers have changed teams, and the Phillies have either just passed on the idea or didn't want to spend on the idea. And I'm not talking about $200 million guys. I'm talking about, Lance Lynn and Marcus Stroman yesterday and Sonny Gray in the offseason, Cole Hamels last year. All guys that didn't look great, but they turned out to be really good this year, and Klentak couldn't see it.
Yeah, it's really frustrating. It's very frustrating that he seems to be so good on one side. Well, better on one side. I don't know if I'd go so far as to be saying so good, but just better on one side than the other. So my overhypes, I got a sports one and I got a non-sports one. Can I give them both?
Let's hear them. You give them both.
Okay, so the sports one would be Andrew Bynum, who didn't do anything other than create a whole lot of jokes on talk radio. And then my non-sports one would be The Phantom Menace, Star Wars Episode 1.
Both are good ones. And I was thinking about when I was thinking about this topic, Bynum came to my mind right away, because that was hyped up as the trade the Sixers had to make, and actually it was the trade that ended up spawning the process, because they got so bad and they gave away all their assets that they had nothing left and they just bottomed out.
I agreed, yes.
Good ones. Appreciate it, Dan. Klentak with pitching is not the best evaluator. I think we can put it that way. I think he's pretty darn awful at it.
He's made bad. There's been one good Klentak pitching decision since the Arrieta signing, or even like right before the Arrieta signing.
No.
The Arrieta signing to now, there's not been one good move.
Every time that he has banked on a pitcher outside of Aaron Nola, it has gone backwards. And there is a long, long list of pitchers over the last year that have been moved in this the last year that he had a chance to get and he didn't get. Marcus Stroman yesterday. Cole Hamels last year, Sonny Gray in the offseason. Sonny Gray was awful for the Yankees. They were just shopping him to whoever would give them anything. Philly set that one out. Dallas Keuchel, who's pitching tonight and pitching well. Charlie Morton, Lance Lynn. All of them changed teams.
Patrick Corbin.
He didn't want to pay for him. So he either gets afraid to pay the high-end guys or can't see that the guys that are struggling in the moment can figure it out. Like, that's what good GMs do. They see something like, wow, this guy's better than that, and they get him, and he's better. And the Phillies don't do that. They don't. And they also bank on Velasquez and Pivetta.
And now they're going to end up paying the price for it.
At some point, they have to fix this. So they're either going to overpay a free agent again like Arrieta. And look, I love Gerrit Cole, and I think for the first couple of years, Gerrit Cole might be excellent if someone paid him $200 million. Is the Gerrit Cole contract going to work out? Most pitching contracts don't. Most aren't Max Scherzer. So if they spend a lot, it probably won't work out well. And if they go bargain bin again, it's probably not going to work out well. Or they're going to have to trade for someone and give up half their prospects.
You know what would have been nice? I mean, Lance Lynn was 3 years, $30 million. Maybe have a little bit of foresight.
That's the problem. Can't see it before it happens.
No, the only time he was semi-right was Charlie Morton.
Had some foresight, and that was 3-4 years ago? Got to have more than that. Got to have more than that. 888-729-9494, #9494 on your AT&T Verizon wireless cell phones. Give us something that was overhyped. Namdi, 8 years ago today, signed by the Eagles. The dream team began to come together. We'll talk more Phillies, and the Cowboys are without Ezekiel Elliott. And Jerry Jones had probably the strongest comment you're going to hear from him on this. It's not great for the Cowboys, not great for Ezekiel Elliott. But it is something we need to talk about. That's coming up next. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.